Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I Am Athlete Parlay is killing it this year.
These are guaranteed wins.
I'm going to take Arizona over San Fran.
Whoa.
Daniel Jones over Patrick Mahomes at home?
Are we going to take care of the business? I don't have Channing Crowder with me or Ocho Cinco or Freaky Fred, but I do have McGee. We call her Nene. She does all of our social media. Week 11. I Am Athlete Parlay. What is the I Am Athlete Parlay? It's 3 for sure bets. Detroit at Cleveland. That's going to be a big one. Baker Mayfield, no Odell Beckham Jr. This kid's on a mission. Cleveland's going to get it done. Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee, no king. But it's okay. They got A.J. Brown. They got Julio Jones. Make sure you pick that one. And the last one, how can you go against the GOAT Tom Brady? The Giants in Tampa. You know the GOAT's going to get it done. He's about 55. That's I Am Athlete Week 11 Parlay.
Go to DraftKings.com, promo code ATHLETE.
You said that.
Get your bets on.
DraftKings.com is the sports book. I Am Athlete is the platform. Parlay, I Am Athlete all day, promo code ATHLETE. Let's get it.
Listen, bro, there's not 32 guys better than me. Put it like that. So you're asking me, like, bro, I'm not 32.
Can't see that I'm winning, it's harder to watch. I'm setting the stage, you should give me my prize. You ain't got no soul, you lacking the spirit. You talk out your neck. Yeah, that's me.
If you're good as a pit crew, if you're a top 5 crew member, no matter what happens, you're always going to be that athlete.
You sound like Ocho.
You always going to be
sound like
athlete.
Ocho.
Hey, dude.
Yeah, don't he? So who's beast mode?
Well, I'm sitting next to one right now because he's in position to win every week. It's not the parking lot 500 where you have good times at practice. But when you have a chance to win, can you perform? That's why football players were brought in here.
Right.
Basketball players were brought in here because they were mechanics before. So let's bring some guys in who's used to handling pressure.
I've won every place I've been. I don't got to say much. I ain't the loudest person in the room, but I ain't the quietest either. But how you see me move, how you see my swag and approach to anything I do is a winning mindset. It ain't a fluke. It ain't luck. You know what I'm saying? It's a mindset. That's just what it's about. I'm a winner.
Like all y'all do is get criticized for ups. Y'all don't get no credit. I ain't heard, bro. All love, and I heard y'all two of the best. I read the Bible, but I heard Jeff Gordon, Joe Gibbs, the names y'all work with. I heard them, but nobody, folks don't know y'all's names.
Right,
and y'all
saying
y'all are just as important as the driver.
Right, right.
You can't go into this profession wanting credit, can you?
Nah. And it's crazy because I feel like that's why it was kind of why I got into the sport. Mm-hmm. Like growing up in Baltimore, I would have never thought I'd be on a NASCAR professional pit crew.
Did you watch it?
Never watched a race in my life. Never knew nothing about it. The closest track is like Dover, Delaware to me. But I knew nothing about it, so.
You probably spent most of your time running from Omar.
Man, hey, for real. Nah, Rest in peace, man, to my guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, you talk about Omar and the Wire, like, so to think a kid growing up in Baltimore from the projects, I never thought I'd be in NASCAR. And to be here doing it, that's why I think I did it. I always wanted to be different because just like us as grown up sitting here talking about stuff, we had those conversations as kids, like, yo, we gotta make it out the hood. Mm-hmm. By any means, like, how do we do it? You know what I'm saying? So whether that was hooping, football.
Which you played ball.
2000. Yeah, I played basketball, yeah. Yeah, I went to Dunbar High School out of Baltimore. A lot of success. Sam Cassell went there. A lot of big names. Skip Wise, a lot of guys like that.
Undefeated, you're a champion.
Yeah, man.
That's why you're used to winning. That's why you do well at Joe Gibbs, because Joe Gibbs only wants people who are used to winning or to develop those to get them used to it, because you come right out the box winning there.
No doubt.
You know, so, I mean, that's an advantage. At the same time, it's a curse starting out.
Well, Joe Gibbs got it, because Joe Gibbs, we're talking about Hall of Fame coach.
Yes.
He won two Super Bowls. Right. Is it two Super Bowls?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, he understands, you know, the psyche of an athlete, competition, you know, bringing those athletes out, where, you know, from where they come from, you know, because they're wired a little differently, like it's life or death, right?
So, well, Coach motto is you win with people.
Yeah.
And I thought that was real interesting when I heard that. Mm-hmm. And going back, what I was saying was, as far as a culture standpoint, the reason I got into NASCAR is because I was always told growing up, you got to play NFL, you got to go to NBA to make it out of the hood. So I love what I'm doing now, and I try to share it on social media, is there's other avenues.
Yeah.
You know, there's analysts, there's so much stuff, and I feel like these conversations are sitting there, that's a big thing for the culture, is to explain to our youth that it's other ways. So, because what happens when you fall short of the league, you know where they end up, right?
Yeah, back in the block. Back in the hood.
So that's why I felt like I took this route to get into the sport. And you talk about winning. Yes, I won in high school state championship, junior college national championship, undefeated, 36-0.
And in NASCAR, too.
And
that's why he's winning in NASCAR, because that shows. And you want winners. This isn't a halfway house where it's just
Daytona.
You know, you got to think about that. You win.
He Brandon Marshall in me right now.
Let me talk. Hey, let me.
My guy.
Hey.
So, no,
my guy,
I'm
going to get it. I'm going to get it.
I like to tell it. Take us there.
That's where I want to go with you. I'm trying to paint that picture.
Yeah.
Inner city Baltimore. High school all-star, all-American. Going into JC. Going undefeated. Winning national championships. Then going D1.
Winning back regular season
That's where it all
there.
Started.
Yeah.
At High Point, North Carolina.
Yep.
And then from that point, did you ever think that my journey that I've come, that I've traveled thus far, this is where I'm going to go? Because no one in this sport actually looks like me?
Nah, I had no idea, man. And it's just about connections and relationships. I was at High Point, and once again, you go back to that winning statement, like, it's things are easier when you win. You know, we all went through probably phases of losing in our life. It's harder when you lose. But when we won, you had alumni coming up to me. Hey, yo, hey, bro, you want to check out this NASCAR? I'm like, man, I'm going overseas or something at least. Like, you know, because that was instilled in my brain growing up, you know. So I'm shunning the dude off for a while. One day I wound up eventually going up to the Richard Childress and checking it out and was like, different. That's different. Just like how y'all intrigued now with the sport, I'm like, I ain't never seen nothing like this except for the Cheerios box with the car on it. You feel me? So I'm like,
racing jackets.
I'm like, and there was a lot of wars and stuff going on around 2014 overseas. I'm like, man, you know what? I might as well stay in my own country and try this NASCAR out. Went in, put my head down, grinded it out, drove first race to Minnesota. Dude say, yo, you want? I got an opportunity for you. I'm grinding. But let me back up, because when I got in the sport, I would ask dudes that's in my position now, like, yo, you think I can get a little help? Like, show me how to jack this car. Nah, man. You don't want to learn from me.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, vets ain't always going to take you under their wing, bro. You're going to take that check. And there's so many checks to pass out.
There you go. So, I just grinded and I passed those dudes so fast and I never forgot it. So that was the driving factor and the motivation for me. I just needed the opportunity.
How does this make you feel? Pioneer of pit road. All right, 2005, went over the wall for the first time, and they deemed you pioneer of pit road because there wasn't too many African-Americans going over the wall at the time. How do you carry that?
Well, at the time, in 2005, I didn't know, because the pioneers of pit road were the black guys I saw. Coach Phil Horton at the time, Chris G at the time, you know, all the black guys who were doing it before me, and Coach Horton brought me in. So on the pit crew side, I didn't look at myself as a pioneer because I didn't care about bringing other athletes in at the time. I just wanted to shine. I was competing. Here I was, a football player, doing something that I could separate myself from all my other football players and be good at. I was a dime a dozen at linebacker. We all could run fast, hit hard. Big guys. You know, that was nothing unique. But putting on a tire in under a second, running around a car, they came up with rules because of me, you know, in NASCAR. That would have never happened in football.
Tell us how you feel.
The Rocco rule.
Tell us how you feel. What's the Rocco rule?
What is
the Rocco rule?
I'm glad I got you. I'm glad I got you.
Yeah, you got us now.
You don't mind, Darrell?
Yeah.
All right, I'm
listening,
Darrell wasn't
bro.
Around at I'm this listening. Time, but the Rocco rule was when you're on a over-the-wall pit crew, you're over the wall, but you cannot do your job without support behind the wall crew, your tire catchers, your hose pullers. To do a pit stop in 12 seconds, you have to have everything work perfectly. We get penalized if you have an uncontrolled tire. Your tire hits the wall, it goes out, cars leave, car comes around back, all right? I prided myself on perfection. Like, I would put my grade sheets up in the locker room so everybody would know, this is week 12, I have not made a mistake. Y'all, get off my back type deal. So when I got penalized, I think it was 2014, for an uncontrolled tire because my tire catcher, I'm not gonna put his name out there, had the alligator arms.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to catch them, go boom, and you know, and the boom, bounce out.
Right.
Jeff Gordon had to come back in. Who are they looking at? It's not Jeff. It's me, black tire carrier Rocco, who thinks he's the who never messes up. He's the one who did it. See, we told you, pissed me off. So, okay, it happened again. And after it happened again, I said, I'm going to control my own destiny. No more of relying on other people to shape my outcome. Yeah. So what I did, once I started to bring the tire back, I would bounce it at the headlight over the wall. I would bounce it. Like in mid-stride, I'd take the tire, boom, and I'm gone. And the tire's over the wall and they catch it or they don't. But there will never be an uncontrolled tire again. It worked for about 6 races. Commentator called it on TV. Oh, look at that tire carrier. What is he doing? And boom, tire's going 6 feet over the wall.
Right.
Next thing you know, you cannot. Tools and equipment have to come back to the wall in a controlled manner and cannot be thrown over the wall. The Rocco rule.
The Rocco rule.
Like you said, black dude, you say you weren't the first, but
no.
One of the innovators. The slowest. I got you. So this black dude comes. He's very successful. He's slamming the tire in the ground, flipping it over the wall.
Yes.
You ain't get no pushback for that? Because this was before you, bro. They was racing cars before you were born.
I know.
You ain't get no looks, no names, no...
We had strong support. You know, like I said, Coach Horton brought us in, not just me, but 5 other football players. At the time, we were doing 7-man, 6-man pit stops. Whatever, don't get me into that. But he brought in confident athletes in. So when we were at the track, you can do what you want, but you ain't going to say nothing to us. We were bigger, stronger, faster than everybody at the track. We would show up with our gear on.
You ain't going to beat nobody up, though, Rocco.
No, but they wouldn't say anything out loud. It was more of a behind-your-back thing. And, yes, you might get a fan to say a derogatory term, but at the end of the day, if you know they're doing that, you're doing something right. You know, why would you get mad about it? Put yourself in a situation. I call them sacrificial lambs. You know, they come at you wanting you to bite them and beat them. You know, so you're out the sport. They're gone. I mean, and they're back the next week. I got caught up like that.
And the thing about it, though, much like in our sport, if it happens, if you do it and it's right, nobody's going to say a damn thing.
10-4.
You know what I'm saying? But I got a question for Darrell. I want to relate it to football, like a phase of football. We have offense, defense, special teams. You guys have the driver, the car, and pit crew.
Right.
Are you guys more like the special teams?
That's a good question. Man, yeah, that's a real good question.
Because you said yourself, Rocco, that if something happens, the driver isn't going to get the... Mm-hmm. It's going to come back to you guys.
Yes.
And a lot of times in our sport, special teams, little do we know, special teams plays a huge, intricate part in our success.
In my eyes, I don't think we're the special teams. I think it's just whether what they want to talk about as far as who was the hero, who's not the hero, or who's the person screwing up the outcome when they, you know, they talk about it, basically. I think we're very important, man.
Much like special teams.
Yeah, because like
when you get overlooked, but...
Right, because when you do mess up, it is, you know, they blow it up or they say it's a pit crew fault, you know. It's gotten better. And it's gotten better in times where they're saying the pit crew got him out first, but it's like the pit crew got him out first. It's not as blown up when they say, oh, they lost him the spot, they lost this race, it's the pit crew. Like, I think it should be equal, mm-hmm. the amount of respect or whatever you're given, whether you get them out first or you mess up, you know, because you got to take it on the chin, but it should be equal. Richard Payne was the chaplain at RCR who was at my high point games and basically brought mm-hmm. me into sport and showed me Richard Childress.
And that mm-hmm. first race that you talked about when you said you went to Minnesota, I read something where it said you drove 16 hours for a couple $100. That was your first race.
Bro, 16 hours. Brad gave me the opportunity. He said, "Man, you want to go to a race?" I said, "Yeah, man, I'm excited." He like, "Only kicker, you driving 16 hours to Minnesota, huh?" I'm like, "For like $200 or something."
And how else are you gonna get the experience?
No, right. But check this. I get there. I don't got no air modes, no radio, nothing. So nobody told me nothing. I spend $100 of that for the radio joint.
Your equipment.
So like he said, man, it was a humbling time. It was because when I got back, dude's like, "Yo, we've been there, we've done that, you know." And I was like, "Okay, cool." Because I'm like, "Bro, did y'all go through this?" I had no idea.
Right.
But now I'm appreciative now because I'm at arguably the best company in the sport, Joe Gibbs Racing, and just a big time coach, and you know what I mean, just a winning. I won 14 races this year.
Right, right. Yeah, you know? Y'all and, eating right now.
But the main one, and I ain't going to skip it out, Rocco, want me to let everybody, 2018, I was the first African-American to ever win the Daytona 500. 70 years into the sport. Let's not forget that.
Big facts.
That's huge.
It took 70 years. Yeah. So break down those barriers for the culture, for me, that's huge for
you
me.
You say that with a lot of pride.
Oh, bro, it means a lot.
It's a big deal.
It's 70 years, Brandon.
And it's a Daytona
for an African-American, for somebody that looked like me and you to win that race as a pit crew member, that says a lot.
And people have spent 20 years chasing that darn race. I finished second there.
And Rocco, hey, yo, I swear to God, this is a true story.
You sound like me now.
Look, Rocco, you sound like me. we get that laugh. Look, next.
And his first or second attempt,
bro,
he wins
it. Right? Your third year. That's my third year. My third year in the sport. I see him in Atlanta. This is a true story. The next race, I see him in Atlanta. He said, "Yo, me holler at you, bro." He said, "Yo, you know I've came second 5 times at that race, right?" So I'm like, "Damn, yo, my bad." Like, so, you know, at the
Daytona
end of the
day, 500 is the Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Rocco, now, you know, in our sport, you get judged by Super Bowl rings.
Nah.
So I got to say, Rail is better at his job than you if he got the Super Bowl ring. Oh, you know.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Five times that boy.
Five times.
Hey, Stephen A. Say the same thing.
Five times. About.
So yeah. You're not really like me. You're more like the Jim Kelly and the Thurman Thomas.
There you go.
Well, no, because I have 15 wins in cup.
Ooh.
He has 14. Check he has 14 wins. He
hold
does.
On, hold on.
But I got 15 wins in cup.
Ooh. He was in the sport 17 years and got 14 wins in cup.
Uh-oh, get feisty.
I'm in the sport 6 years. I got 3 wins in cup already.
Okay, we're going to see. We're going to see.
And one of them being the Super Bowl of Nashville.
Yeah, but okay, part of it, though, we can get to the whole beast mode.
But at the same time,
you
got hot streaks. You got some long, cold streaks, too. Now.
And not only that, but I would assume that it's similar to football, basketball, where, you know, it's a war of attrition. You got to take care of your body. You got to take care of yourself. Yeah. So you talking about 17 years in the sport, a lot of that goes to how you probably took care of yourself and was able to last because, you know, those athletic movements can creep up on you. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you better take care of yourself.
Nah, you're right. But also, he was in that first generation of, I got to jack a car and hang a tire.
Right.
The sport has innovated.
Right.
Which means
the wear and tear on my body will be.
That's true. God, he's going there with it. I didn't know you were going to go there, Ralph.
I did not know you were going to go there, Ralph. That's a legit statement. Right. Like, the sport is innovating. The sport is innovating.
If we were doing it the way that they're doing it now, when I was there, it would have been over. It would have been done. I would have been just as effective. Now, Ralph and all these guys his age have never seen a guy like me ever with a tire carrier putting a tire on in my prime. And that's, I can't hold that against
he
him.
He bounced the tire. He said, I'm bouncing over the head like
I
over the wall.
That against him. He is young.
That's like the LeBron and Michael conversation.
He wasn't there.
100%. You hear what he said, though?
Yeah.
The athletes now.
Right.
He
was stiff. He
going,
was too big.
No, who he was going against.
Right.
We talking about the NFL guy. I just told you, there's league guys in this sport now.
Right.
There's
right.
guys that who he was. No, I'm not taking it away from you. I'm just saying.
Love it.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, because at the end of the day, I got the utmost respect for Rocco. He's my guy. And I wouldn't even be, you feel me, right here if he ain't paid away as well. You feel what I'm saying? So. I'm
they
just saying, nice though, that the truth is the truth, you know what I mean?
No, they are nice with like, it. And he's 10 years younger. He's 10 years younger. Exactly. You can't compete with that. But some things is genetic. It's not about just training. You know, so you're just born with certain stuff.
Come on, Ocho, sit down.
It goes further than that.
Come on, Ocho.
Listen, Rocco.
You are.
It goes further than that, in my opinion. We're in an age where technology is amazing, right? The sport is going to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're a pioneer.
It is.
You know, he's carrying the torch.
Facts.
And that happens, so I'm mm-hmm. sure he's 100%, he's proud of you.
Oh,
you know, for starting
sure.
the
sport. No,
when you go back to Baltimore,
facts.
The kids in your community, they're going to look at you and they're going to want to be in your position. In 10, 15, 20 years from now, they're going to be kicking ass better than you are.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Because the game going to keep changing.
New NBA. Old NBA. That's what he's in.
Oh,
you know,
that's
when
they
was the foul, the hand check and all that. Yeah, the rules changed. That's all.
The rules changed because of you.
Time they had big men.
Right.
Now we got Anthony Davis.
We have big men that could move.
I like how you went to basketball.
But you told me that this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
We were big, but we could move.
Now I'm a small ball. It's small ball. You got to move. But Rocco, you're in a different position now, right? You went from competing. You went from, you know, being that guy, innovating the sport. Saying, I'm going to bounce this tire over the head, like over the wall, so we don't get penalized. It ain't going to be on me. So now, you know, NASCAR's Drive for Diversity program. You're one of the top recruiters there. You found a lot of these guys, you know? When you're out on the road, you know, what's your process of finding the next, you know, Darrell Edwards?
It's tell your story. There's no selling it to anybody because they can, you know, these young kids now, they'll fact check you. Four or five of my most successful recruits that went straight to Cup found me on Instagram. Right. Just, you know, and sent me a message. Next thing you know, Joel Bogner.
Yeah.
Bogner, he's at
Gibbs
right now from an Instagram DM. And why do they do that? Because they can see the lifestyle. They can prove that, hey, This is what he does. He carries tires. This is how he lives. This is what happens. This is why NASCAR is cool. So basically, I tell that story. And the kids, the smart ones, the ones who are thinking for it, the ones who can code switch, the ones who are looking at life outside of football, that resonates with them really, really well. It's not a hard sell. You come in there looking right. You come in there showing.
I want to bounce something off what you're saying right there, Rocco. So you know how Floyd changed the boxing world?
Right.
Getting money, flashy, swag. That's kind of what I want. So when you say they looked at your Instagram and saw your lifestyle, because the sport and the culture is different. We wear all black. When you walked around the racetrack, you might have seen guys in all black. Mm-hmm. It's black pants, black shirt, black shoes. We want to change that and do that Floyd Mayweather aspect. Then, I'm wearing the shoes that's the loudest. They going to match with the red crew shirt, the royal blue
crew shirt. You're bringing the culture.
You know what
you're bringing the culture.
Look,
which is funny because, Raj, in the NASCAR drivers drive for the diversity program.
Absolutely.
I reached out to him. I said, bro, what music are you listening to? Like, show me.
Rod Wave.
Bring me into the culture. That's what I said. Show me that. Because that, to me, that's what NASCAR needs, right? Like, we need that. Whether it's from the pit crew, whether it's from Raj, whether it's from Bubba. I know Bubba, his upbringing is different. But at the end of the day, show us the culture. And that's what you're saying you're doing.
Why does our culture resonate with that? Look good, feel good, play good. You're representing millions of dollars. Get paid good.
Finish it. Do it again. Start over.
Look good, feel good. Play good, get paid good.
There you go.
Because when Darrell laces up on Sunday,
right.
He's representing millions of dollars in sponsorship. Right. Top sponsor on your main team. Which was it?
DeWalt.
DeWalt. So when he puts on his suit, he's representing DeWalt. You don't think DeWalt wants him clean head to toe? Do you want him looking nice at the track, representing them in front of thousands of people every weekend?
Okay. So
thousands.
Let me push. Let's push the sport forward.
We like that.
And maybe you guys are already here. I hear what you're saying. You guys can make upwards to $150,000, maybe even more, as part of the crew. Do you guys get a piece of that sponsor money?
No.
It's how we work the contract.
We're going to innovate.
No.
We're going to... But think about that.
I love this, Brad.
This is NASCAR.
But how do we do that, though? Because what you're saying is, like, now...
We need to figure out how we do that.
I'm a walking billboard.
There is no figuring out. You'll need a whole nother show for that.
Well, this is the show. What you mean?
This is the show. I know.
The structure's set up
how it is. It's been set up like that for 100 years.
It's design. It's systemic.
I'm with you, but the sport is already trying to innovate. We need to ride the wave that NASCAR already on with the Alvin Kamaras and, like, that's a big deal, bro. With you, I mean, Michael Jordan, like, we got to ride that wave right now. So, actually, the time is right now.
I get it.
So that's what we're going to do. I like how you're thinking, though, but from a business perspective, right, because, like, athletes, right, we go out there, we have the collective bargaining agreement, so we get this chunk of, you know, the TV deals,
we're
media.
We're not athletes yet.
Stop. But we're going to do it.
We're not athletes yet.
Take a wide receiver, take a linebacker, take a running back. We can go outside and make our own deals, but we have to tap into the content, we have to tap into me. Like you said, we need a whole nother show for that. Well, that's what this show is for.
Because we're not athletes yet.
I love that. I want to see you get another bag from DeWalt or Ollie or McDonald's. McDonald's is no big, Ocho McDonald's. I'm more excited.
Ocho ain't here. You arguing with Ocho.
But we should. We got to figure that out.
Something that OG Freddie always says, exposure leads to expansion. Y'all love NASCAR, but coming out of where we're not used to, coming out and it's experienced something else, exposed to NASCAR, what else has that expanded in your mind and your life? Off the track, out of flipping the tires, out of what you're doing, what has that given you in life, your family, everything?
Kids, all
it's a bigger world out there. You know, get out that lane, the road less traveled by principle, you know? You see that line wrapped around, I had no idea the opportunities within NASCAR outside of the competition side of it. We're talking about the corporate, the business side, utilizing your degrees to the point where I'm setting my kids up differently. It's not about just a stick and ball. I want to push architecture, mechanical engineering, because those are the ones building the race cars. You know, we're starting a mechanical engineering program. We got two engineers that we're bringing in just for car chief, crew chief, you know, because they're the ones building the race cars. I would have never known that to even align my kids with that. Just the access of go-kart racing. Mm-hmm. We thought it was fun, but it's a lick. You get your kid in a go-kart, it's just, it's amazing. It proves to the fact that it's a bigger world out there than some people are exposed to. It's very big, and there's a lot of opportunity. And, you know, we get caught up living in our own little bubbles and our own shells and our dreams, but it's a lot going on out there.
I'm going to bounce off of that, and that's what I was talking about earlier. And within the culture, we only tell our kids so many lanes.
Right. Football, so, basketball.
So you know what I hate as a pet peeve of mine is when you talk to somebody that's older and they say, man, those kids just getting worse. No, they ain't. Mm-hmm. You only telling them so many things.
Right.
You're only putting them in so many lanes, basketball, NFL, comedian. There's engineering, there's architect, there's so much stuff, man. Like, we just got it. So when you talk about expansion, I had to get uncomfortable. When I went to High Point University, it's a majority white school.
Love it.
I was nervous. I had a big beard, freeway style, coming from up north. People, you know, it was different. You know, I had to get uncomfortable, but that, going through those sacrifices and getting making that comfortable, making people accept me and know that other people that don't look like me enjoy me.
Right.
That was a big deal for me. And that was just a big time. Like, going to High Point was different. I was not used to that. I had a straight culture shock. So you talk about expansion, just opening your mind, man, that mindset. Like, we got to recondition our minds. You know, good things are supposed to happen.
Listen, I want to end with this. Better hat game, Fred T, Freaky Fred, or Darrell Edwards Champ?
Darrell Boogie.
I don't know.
Hey, man.
I don't know.
But listen, it's crazy. Let's talk about it because...
No, just answer the question.
We talk about generational. Like, see, he's still in the fitteds and stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, that was like old school. Like, I'm fitted, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in, like, the trucker hats and stuff,
right,
man.
Right,
you
right.
feel what I'm saying? Got like,
a
his hat,
of those.
Hat ain't bent, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I know the brand.
Fitteds ain't pushing them forward.
Man.
I don't know, bro.
My fitteds ain't cool no more.
See what I'm saying? I'm not surprised you're saying that because you feel
Fred T, fitted hats coming soon.
See?
Yeah. Let's go, Fred. Come on, baby. Hey.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I had the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.